From the heart of the city, where the beat meets the rhythm of your day, it's Shauna and Lala.
What's up? You're listening to Shauna and Lala. Check us out at shaunaandlala.com. Be sure to follow us on all social media platforms at Shauna and Lala. And you could follow me on Instagram at The Real Shauna May.
And you can follow me at Bella_Lala125.
It is our Valentine's Day show, and I'm looking forward to it. We are interviewing Tiffany Stone, and she is a relationship expert. So I am looking forward to hearing what she has, some advice for me being single, and I'm sure you're looking forward to hearing what she has to say.
Yeah, relationships are hard, so I want to see what she has to say. You know, maybe there's some things that could help my relationship, because nobody's relationship is perfect, you know?
No matter what people say on Facebook.
No, yeah. No matter what they post, they all got those, you know, what's it called? Skeletons in the closet.
Yes, absolutely. We know a few of them.
Oh, yeah. Oh, definitely. Definitely. What they portray online is this perfection. And then behind closed doors, it's anything but. And I guess that's another negative of social media. It's making us all expect something that's not real. And we think what we're watching or seeing in these posts and pictures is real, and it's not. And it makes people very depressed, I think.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
I was online, and this article popped up about Valentine's Day. And do you know, this year, they're saying is like a record high of how much people are spending on Valentine's Day. Which is shocking, because no one has money, so I don't understand that.
Really?
Yeah, but they're saying a lot of it has to do with the cost of cocoa. So Valentine's Day chocolates, the price is astronomical right now, because the price of cocoa has gone up for manufacturers, you know, to make their chocolates.
It's going up on purpose.
Probably, yeah. So they're saying it's like a record high for the price of chocolate right now. Which, I don't buy chocolate, so I don't know. But you're a chocolate eater, so have you noticed any differences in prices?
Me, personally, I haven't, because I always buy on sale.
Yeah.
But I haven't bought chocolate in a really long time. So, I honestly don't know either.
I don't know. I don't buy it, so. But they're saying it's like a record high for that. So that's going to, I guess, bring up the cost of Valentine's Day. And do you know, like, the most that people spend on Valentine's Day, what they buy? They're saying the top gifts include candy. 57% of people buy candy. Greeting cards is the next, like, the high cost. Flowers, an evening out, is only 32%, which is shocking to me. Jewelry is 22%, clothing 21%, and then gift cards 19%. So they're saying it's expected to be, like, for jewelry, $6.4 billion. Flowers, $2.6 billion. That's insane for one day. Oh my god,
that is crazy.
Yeah. And an evening out, $4.9 billion. Like I said in the last episode, I'd rather an evening out. Don't get me flowers, don't get me candy. I'd rather just an evening out to go to eat, you know.
Of course, you and food. Always going out to eat.
Yeah, listen, it's all about the experience for me. For, you know, if you have to pick between flowers, which are beautiful, they sit there, they're very expensive. Sometimes they're like the price of a meal, you know, or more than a meal.
Yeah.
And then they die. So I'd rather go to a restaurant, experience the most amazing food on my taste buds, and the atmosphere. Me and my husband are big on the atmosphere of restaurants. Like, if the food is good, that's great, but we also like the atmosphere of the place. You know, it's all ties in together. Whereas, I mean, my sister, she's the opposite. She does not get the whole eating out thing. Like, wanting to or spending a lot of money on food. She's like, it's going to sound gross. She goes, I can't fathom spending $60 on a plate of food, which I'm going to crap out a few hours later. She's like, literally, my money is going down the toilet. And I start, you know, I laugh. I'm like, I get it, but I don't know.
I
don't know.
I mean, I get where she's coming from. It is true. With me, it might not be a few hours.
Days.
Might be a few minutes.
Oh yeah. Minutes, days, who knows? Who knows with your IBS?
I agree with you. I loved going to that restaurant in St. Augustine that you told me about.
Yeah.
I can't think of the name of
Collage.
It. Collage. Yes. And I just loved going there and experiencing it and having the really, really good food. So would I do that again? Absolutely.
Yeah. It's part of, I think it's part of life. Like, we have taste buds for a reason, I think, to enjoy stuff. Maybe back, not when we were cavemen, but it's an experience. We make eating out an experience. And I like that better than roses rotting on my counter or chocolate that's not really healthy for me and I don't like anyway. And jewelry, I'm not a huge jewelry person, which is, it's nice because it lasts, but I don't want my husband spending money on jewelry for me. I've never been that way. So that's just me personally. What about you? I mean, I know you're single, but if you were with someone, dating someone on Valentine's Day, what would you want to receive? Would you be looking for that typical cards, candy, and flowers, or would you rather go out to eat or something else?
I don't like Valentine's Day. I think it's overrated.
Yeah.
So I probably would say, let's just go out to eat.
Yeah, I agree. It's like the best. I mean, the only bad thing is sometimes restaurants are super crowded on Valentine's Day. So
that's the other thing.
Yeah.
So I would probably say, let's just stay home and let's go out and celebrate it another night.
Exactly. That's what we usually do. It's like, let's go on the week or like on a random day in the week just to get away from the crowds, you know. But yeah, that I agree with you. Totally.
On the phone right now, we have relationship expert Tiffany Stone on the phone. So how did you get into being a relationship therapist, coach?
So I personally have a history of just awful relationships, very unhealthy. And I decided that I wanted to change. And so I wanted to become a therapist. I went through school. I got my master's degree in marriage and family therapy. And I learned so much about everything I was doing wrong and why I kept attracting all the awful relationships that I was attracting into my life. And then throughout my years as a therapist, I started to notice a theme with the women on the couch and how they would be in these unhealthy relationships but didn't know why. They didn't know what kept them in these relationships. And a lot of them didn't even recognize that they were in an unhealthy relationship. The things that they were going through were so normal for them that they just thought it was how it should have been. So from there, I decided I really wanted to make that my life goal. I was passionate about helping these women see that they didn't have to be stuck in this unhealthy cycle, stuck in these unfulfilling relationships where they're put down or they're made to feel less than, not as important, they're not valued. And so that's how I got to where I'm at.
And what are some signs of an unhealthy relationship?
Yeah, so some common ones that a lot of people miss are name calling. You know, they think that it's so common when you get in an argument for your partner to call you stupid or just make you feel down about yourself. And that's actually a very unhealthy, toxic trait, right? The person who loves you should always treat you with love and with support. Another thing that a lot of people miss because it's so gradual and slow is isolation. Right. And this is in a more serious case, but when you're with a partner who tends to isolate you from family or isolate you from friends, right? Mm-hmm. Oh, you don't want to go over there and be with your family today. Stay here with me instead. And over the course of maybe several months or several years, you look back and you recognize that your relationships have severed with your friends and your family. And it wasn't intentional. It wasn't all of a sudden, right?
Yeah.
But that's a huge red flag.
I have to say that I have called people stupid. You know, when I'm when I'm mad or something, I'm like, oh my God, you're so stupid. Or, you know, don't be so stupid. And now I'm like, oh my God, I'm really bad.
Yeah, you know, we all do. It's human. But it's the consistency when it's happening, right? So overall, are you making people feel less than so that you can feel superior? Right? Are you constantly putting the people in your life or the relationships in your life down? Not something to really look at.
Yeah. You know, and I also think it's when you're in that moment and you're mm-hmm. just pissed off, you yes. just say whatever just comes out. And mm-hmm. sometimes you mm-hmm. don't mean it. I mean, well, I don't want to say that I don't mean it, because I do at that time.
The truth you know? Comes out.
But
those were the inner thoughts.
Yeah.
But, you know, like if I'm fighting with someone, I get frustrated, you know, and mm-hmm. I get mad and I'm like, oh my God, you know, I just want to strangle you.
Yes.
Oh my God, even worse. No. Even worse than calling somebody stupid.
Yeah, she wants to strangle him.
We're not going to strangle anybody. Yeah.
No.
But, you know, that's really important to recognize, though, because a lot of people don't know how to fight in a healthy way. Fighting in and of itself is not an unhealthy part of relationships. I'm actually more worried about the couples who sit on my chair and say, oh, we never fight, because that tells me that you're suppressing a lot of crap, yeah. right? But there are healthy ways to fight and healthy ways to have these discussions and to work through them. And part of that is recognizing when you're becoming flooded and when you need to take a break, right? So it's a proven thought that an anxious brain cannot think. Have you ever taken a test and you're so anxious that even though you know the material, you draw a blank?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, our brain cannot think when it's anxious. It's just physiological. All blood draws from our brains to go to our limbs for that fight or flight response that we have, yeah. right? And so that happens to us also in relationships. And a lot of people aren't trained to be in tune with their bodies to recognize their own signs of flooding or anxiety, right? So flooding is just a fancy way of saying an anxiety response. It's when you become so anxious that you cannot respond in a healthy way. For some people, that means your heart starts to pound really fast. Some people get a headache. Some people get clammy hands or sweaty palms, right? It's different for everybody. But when we recognize that this is happening to us, we need to take a break. And this is not an indefinite break, because that leads to that unhealthy cycle of never talking about what's wrong and sweeping it under the rug and pretending like everything's okay, right? We don't want to do that. But it's communicating ahead of time with your partner, hey, I'm starting to feel anxious. Let's take a 45-minute break.
Yeah.
Right. And then during that time, you guys go your separate ways and do anything you can, but think about what's wrong. Go work out, go take a nap, go read a book, go eat something, right? Do something to tend to you. And then when you're feeling calm in that 45-minute period of time, ideally, come back and try to have that exact same conversation, but when you're both calm.
Yeah, I think I struggle with that. I always want to mm-hmm. fix the argument right away. I'm one yeah. of those people, and my mm-hmm. husband's not. So it's like, no, I want to talk about this now. I want to get to the end of it, because I do not like yeah. conflict. And that's mm-hmm. a problem in my relationship, is that, mm-hmm. you know.
You it's always funny, I'm the exact anxious, opposite.
Though. You're what, you're at the opposite?
My husband is the fixer, okay. right? He cannot stand to have anything go for even more than 5 minutes. He wants it resolved then and there.
Yep.
And I'm more like your husband. I need that break. I need time to process and to think and to calm myself down. And so that happens a lot in relationships, right? It's the distancer and the pursuer. And that's also an anxiety response. The distancer needs to soothe their anxiety by getting distance from the argument and calm down. The pursuer is having an anxiety response. They need it resolved then and there. Come on, let's do it. Let's fix this now so we can move on with our day.
Yeah, I don't want to feel this way. I want to feel happy. I don't want to fight. Like, let's go. Let's end it.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. I love you. Let's love each other and be done with this.
Yep.
Yeah. Right?
But that beauty comes from recognizing that you guys are different. You resolve conflict differently, and that's okay. But you need to respect the way both of you resolve conflict so that you can actually resolve it and not make more conflict.
Yes.
And Lala, you always say that you're anxious. Oh, you always say, I'm anxious.
I get anxious, mm-hmm. especially with conflict or mm-hmm. just any situation, you know, and mm-hmm. that's how I've been, you know.
Yeah. And it is for some people. Some people are more likely to be anxious sometimes, and that's okay. It's those coping skills help you kind of work through it.
Yeah.
What do you do when you're feeling anxious that helps you kind of calm down and de-escalate a little?
For me, I'm good at, I like music. Music helps me, and eating. Food always makes it better for me, you know.
Yes.
But here we go with the food.
Yeah, I'm a big foodie.
Hey, food is great. I'm with you on that.
Yeah. But yeah, it's for me, it's like I'll go outside sometimes and just the fresh air. Even in the winter, I just did it recently. I got in a fight with my husband, and afterwards, I just had to go outside and just take deep breaths and that cool air, you know, calm me down.
Does he follow you outside?
No, no.
Good. He's good not for like him for that. Respecting that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But I mean, I'm the annoying type who's like following him, like, can we talk about this? Blah, blah, blah. So I need to learn to respect that too. But
yeah, be comfortable in that discomfort.
Yeah. And I think that the anxiety stems from toxic relationships. I don't know if you agree with that, but before I was in a toxic relationship, I wasn't like this. And then once I was in like a 8-year toxic relationship, I became like, are you mad at me? You know, you're constantly, because he was a narcissist. So I'm like, are you mad at me? Let's fix this, you know? So now I still have those issues, I think, when fights happen, where I'm thinking the end is here, you know?
Yeah, and you were conditioned for that, right? Over the course of that 8 years, he taught you that when anything was wrong, it was your fault.
Yep.
And you had that anxiety response, not knowing what his next action or reaction would be. Or if you breathed wrong, would he be pissed off at you?
Oh, yes. Right? My stuff would be out on the lawn for him being waking up mad at me. And it would be, you know, it became trauma. So it's a problem.
Absolutely. Yeah. Well, and you recognize that. And that's important because that's the first step, right? Recognizing that what you went through was indeed traumatic. And being able to kind of process through that and self-soothe, recognizing, and I don't know if this is the case, I'm just kind of speaking and hope it is, but recognizing that the relationship with your husband is not the same as the relationship with your ex.
Yeah,
and
definitely.
In this relationship, you're safe,
yes.
Right? In this relationship, you're valued, you're important.
Yeah, no, definitely. It's definitely a big change. And I always tell him I want to feel safe and stable, because not wondering, not that my husband's ever tried to kick me out, but it was a problem for a long time, like feeling that I want to be stable. I want to feel safe. I want to feel safe.
Yeah, you were conditioned to need that. Absolutely.
Yeah.
So with Valentine's Day coming up, what is your opinion on the big day?
So I might ruffle feathers. I don't know. I've never been a big Valentine's Day person. When I was single, we all know Single Awareness Day, right? I feel like it really highlights singleness for some people, and it can be really difficult and cause people to feel left out or unseen and important. But it doesn't have to be that way. And I've learned that slowly over the course of probably the last 10, 15 years, right? One thing that I started doing when I was single, and I think Miley Cyrus owes me some money for this, but I would buy my own flowers, literally, for Valentine's Day. I would go to the supermarket and buy myself the most beautiful bouquet of flowers that I wanted, because I could.
Yeah.
And because I was worthy, whether or not somebody else thought so, right? I knew my own self-worth and my own value, and flowers make me happy. So I would always go to the market and buy myself a big, beautiful bouquet of flowers and a little thing of chocolate. And I would feel valued on that day, right? So it doesn't have to be from somebody else. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Yeah. Another thing that a lot of people I talk to do now, and I didn't know if this was a thing before, if it's new, but Galentine's Day events. Have you guys heard of those?
We have, yeah.
Those are
amazing. A single girls event.
Yes. Yeah, just get together with some girlfriends and just have fun and be together on that day and support each other, right? And then something that I tell just about every client that I talk to, because I think it's so easy to forget. And I think my perception changed once I became a mom towards this too. But Valentine's Day doesn't have to be about romantic love.
Right.
It's kind of commercialized us to think that, right?
Everybody
thinks about
is.
Romantic dates and flowers, but it can be about all kinds of love in general. You can celebrate the love that you have for your parents, your siblings, your friends, your kids, if you have them, right? It doesn't have to be romantic. It can be love in general and platonic.
Yeah.
And celebrate that and take some of that pressure off of yourself.
So, like, for me, personally, I go out with my mom, usually. And
I love that.
You know, like I said earlier, before the interview on the show, that we might not go out on Valentine's Day. We might go out on a different day and celebrate it, because it's just, like you said, it's oversaturated. It's popular.
Yes.
You have to make reservations, like, a month in advance.
Right.
No, I think that's nice. At least it's something that you can look forward to. Like, okay, I'm going out with my mom, you know. Everyone loves to go out to eat, so it's just something to look forward to, you know.
And you're celebrating your relationship with your mom, right, which is so important and oftentimes so forgotten.
Yes.
I love it. You know, in kind of an offshoot of that, for people who are in a couple relationship of some form, Valentine's Day means so much more when it's not reserved for that one day a year. Right? When your partner shows you love throughout the year, then those flowers that he or she may buy you on Valentine's Day might mean a little bit more. It feels a little less commercialized, as opposed to if it's that one time a year that you get flowers and it's because it's this big Hallmark holiday and that's what they're supposed to do. It doesn't always feel so special. Right.
Yeah.
So keeping that love alive throughout the year and celebrating that in little ways throughout the year also takes some of that pressure off of Valentine's Day, but makes it that much more special for you.
I agree with that. You know, it should be. My husband does not like Valentine's Day. He says the same thing as you. It's just over commercialized. It's a way that they're making money. And he'd say, well, I can't just do it all year long. You know, what does it have to be one day that I'm forced to do this? Like, no. So we just go out to eat. We don't make a big deal. We don't get each other cards. It's just like an excuse to go out to eat at a nice restaurant.
I love it. Yeah. Because who doesn't like to eat, right?
Yeah. Definitely.
Lala in her food.
I know.
You think
I'm
like
600 pounds, but no.
Oh, that's too funny.
So what would be your ideal candidate for someone to book a session with you?
So I really work only with single women, and I want single women who are tired of being single and ready to make a change. They're open and receptive to learn about the patterns that have gotten them to where they're at, right? You are the common denominator in all of your relationships.
Yes.
And so you need to be able to take a step back and look at the mirror and say, what is it in me that is attracting these people into my life and entertaining these people? And then they've got to have a willingness to actually address that and learn new ways to address relationships. And that really is my ideal candidate. If they just want a quick fix, I'm not the right coach.
Yeah.
If they want somebody to tell them that they're doing everything right, I'm not the right coach. Because I do believe that everybody has room for improvement and for growth.
Good. I wish I had you back in the day. It helped so much.
Oh, I wish I could have helped you, but I'm glad you found your way.
Yes, I did. It took a long time, but yes.
Yeah.
Many, many years,
right?
Yes. I feel that in my bones.
I know.
I walked probably not the same path, but pretty similar, probably.
Probably similar with, you know, when you're in a toxic relationship, there's so many things now looking back that I hear people talk about. I'm like, I went through that too. I went through that too. So it must be just common with how certain people treat other people.
People don't learn how to love healthy all the time.
Yeah.
Right. And that's unfortunate.
And I also think, like, you know, you may be in that situation, but hear somebody else say, like, oh, I'm being verbally abused, let's say, by my boyfriend. And then you would be like, oh my God. Like,
but not recognize it in my own relationship.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That's common too with women and men, but mainly I feel women.
Mainly women.
Yeah.
Yeah, we all idealize our own situation and think it's going to get better. It's better than it is until we really sit down and take a cold, hard look and think, oh crap, this is not good.
Yeah. You get addicted to the roller coaster. That's what I think. I know I did. I got addicted to the roller coaster of emotions. At the time, I didn't
Yes.
realize it, but now that I'm older, I'm like, yeah, that high and that low and then that high. And you don't, you know, that's what you
Yes.
focus on is the highs and not the lows. Stupid.
Absolutely. Well, it's not stupid, it's true, right? And
Yeah.
we as people are just kind of conditioned for that. And I'm so glad that you said that because it brought up another point that people who do come from unhealthy relationships where there are those constant high highs and low lows, and then they get out of that and they get into a healthy, stable relationship where those high highs don't exist and those low lows don't exist. It can be boring and uncomfortable because they're so used to that excitement, right?
Yeah.
Even though it's negative excitement, it's still excitement. And so being able to recognize that in yourself will really help you to grow even further and to stay in that discomfort of the healthy relationship until it becomes more comfortable.
Yes, exactly.
So you have a website and it's called therapyconnectionstoday.com. Can you
Yes.
tell us a little bit about it? I know that if you're looking for a counselor, you can go to the website and you can find a counselor
In your area,
in your
yeah.
area.
Yes, absolutely. So, I think about 4 or 5 years ago, I'm kind of fuzzy on the timeline right now, but I was getting a little frustrated with the process of growing a private practice. I do have a private group practice for therapy outside of coaching. And so I was doing all the things that you're supposed to do, and it was frustrating, because the market for some of these directories feel oversaturated. And so as a client, you go to these directory sites where you can plug in what you're looking for, and you get thousands and thousands of therapists who could possibly fit your need, and that can be overwhelming for you. And then as a therapist on the other side, it feels like you're just kind of lost in the masses,
Yeah.
right? And so my husband and I started kind of brainstorming, and we created a therapy directory service of our own that's a little different from what's out there. So for the clients, it's newer, so it's less saturated, right? Which means that you're going to go there and you're going to find therapists in your area, but it's going to be easier to pick from, right? And it's a free service for people looking for therapists.
Yeah.
And then for therapists, on the other hand, it's less saturated, which means you're more likely to be found by the client who's your ideal client, right? The perfect person for you looking for the services that you offer. But we also help to advertise your practice, which is a little bit different from other directory services out there. And we do that through Facebook ads and SEO and blogs and things like that to help drive more traffic to your site. So really it's for whoever it is, either therapist or client, and it's just a really great way to find that perfect match for both of you.
That's good. I was on there and I saw that you can even chat, which is that was. So would they be chatting with like who are they chatting with at that point?
With me or my
Yeah.
husband.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, we're a small company at this point, so that goes directly to us. And we'll answer their questions and kind of guide and direct them as best as we can.
That's amazing. That truly is. Like you don't find that on most websites. It's
No.
like a robot and then they don't know what you're talking about or don't they're not answering the question you're asking. So
Yeah.
Yeah,
I like
that's so
that.
frustrating.
Nine times out of ten,
Yep.
it's a robot.
Yeah.
Right, just a bot auto-generating things. That's one of the things that we are adamant about is keeping that personal touch and that personal feel. I hated feeling like a number in these bigger directory sites. I hated when I needed something fixed, I had to put in a ticket and wait, I think it was a week or two at a time, to get what I needed fixed. And sometimes even then it would be a longer process because the first time it wasn't what I needed, and then I had to go through that process again, and overwhelming and frustrating, right? So we're really trying to keep that personal touch in there, make it easy, keep it local. We're right in the DFW area, so pretty local.
That's good. Is it easy for a therapist to be added? Like if someone or it, so anyone could reach out to you and be added to it? or?
Yeah, absolutely. There is a button on the website that says get listed today. And the therapist will just go to that website or that button, I'm sorry, and it shows the three plans that we have. So we have a student plan for people who are currently working in what we call a practicum, right? So their last couple of semesters where they're actually starting to see some clients, but they're still under the supervision of their professors and they haven't graduated yet. So that membership just allows them to start building a brand for clients. So they can start blogging and posting and start getting some recognition within the world of therapy. And then we've got our other two memberships, which are the premium and the professional. So with the premium membership, it's a little cheaper than what's out there currently, but you're able to show up in SEO, you're able to publish blogs, you can talk about events that are coming up for you. If you've written a peer-reviewed article, you can publish it here. It's just a really great way, again, to continue your branding. And then in our professional membership, that's the one where we run the ads for you and we help you get your practice out there and get recognition and get clients in the door.
Like local mm-hmm. to their area.
Right. Wherever they're at, yeah. It'll be clients local to them. Mm-hmm.
Jeez. That's really, really helpful that you guys do that for clients and, again, therapists. Starting mm-hmm. out, I know I have a friend who's starting out, and it's hard. So I'm going to relay this information to her because
this is great. Thank you.
You're welcome.
And so many people on the moms groups are looking for therapists.
Yeah.
Whether mm-hmm. it's for their child or for themselves.
Yes, it can be such a daunting process when you are looking for someone that fits your needs. And I tell every client that comes through my door and sits on my seat, if we are not good or if we're not a good fit, that's okay. You are not going to hurt my feelings. Tell me, and I will help you find somebody who is, because that personal fit is the most important thing in a therapeutic relationship. If you do not feel comfortable talking to your therapist, you're wasting your money.
Yeah. No, nothing's going to get fixed. So
exactly. Nothing's going to change. Yep.
Yep. Do you have any advice that you can give for someone that is single or in a relationship? Like, what's the greatest advice you have for them?
Absolutely. My favorite thing ever is self-love. Too many people are walking around and they're hurt and they don't love themselves. They don't see their own personal value or their own worth. Right. And so you've got to start there. That old cliche that you've got to love yourself before anyone else can love you. It's pretty true. Right. But it's more important is that you need to love yourself regardless of if you're loved or not, because you're going to live your life with you.
Yes.
Right. And so one of the things I talk about a lot with clients is looking in the mirror, and instead of seeing the things that they hate about themselves or they dislike or they want to change, find gratitude for those things.
Little
changes. Our bodies change over time. Yeah, exactly. And even if it's not a change, right? So for postpartum moms, it's such a hard and difficult journey, right? Trying to find love for your body after all of the changes that have happened. But if you can look at your body and say, you know what? I'm amazing. I just freaking grew a baby, right? Mm-hmm. So maybe I don't look the way I looked when I was 20. And maybe I don't look the way I want to look now, right? But that's okay. I still love and appreciate my body for what it is and what it can do. Yes. I'm thankful for my legs. I'm thankful for my arms. I'm thankful for my brain and the ability that I have to think and to process and to change and to learn and to grow. Right? Versus looking at yourself in the mirror and saying, oh, God, I need to lose weight. What is wrong with me? Man, look at all these jiggles and wiggles and flabs, right?
Yep.
That's not constructive.
No.
We've all been there, right?
Yeah.
I think we all do that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But she's right. Absolutely. Like, if you don't love yourself, like, someone else is going to pick up on those first, you know, how you treat yourself, and then they're going to treat you. Maybe not the same, but, you know, I agree with that.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. You teach people how to treat you.
Yes.
Right? So treat yourself with love. Don't call yourself stupid, going back to what we were talking about at the beginning, right? That negative self-talk.
Yeah.
We all have this track going through our head. God, I'm so dumb. Why did I do that? Why did I say that? Why did I wear that? Whatever.
Yeah.
Right? start to pay attention to those thoughts and then start to change it, right? Mm-hmm. I love positive affirmations. It's actually something I believe in so much that I wrote a book about it. I do it with my kids every day, right? But positive affirmation, speaking life, speaking positivity into the people in your world, into yourself. I am smart. I am kind. I am loving. I am worthy of healthy and loving relationships. And doing that over time, our brains have the ability to recreate neuropathways, right? So we've got this negative pathway going where we're dumb, we're whatever, right? All those negative thoughts that we say about ourselves every day. We can take those and rewrite them to a more positive thing. Mm-hmm. And then our brain over time is going to start to believe that. It's not going to be overnight. You know, a lot of people get discouraged because, man, I've been doing my affirmations for a week and I still think the same.
Yeah.
Well, you've been thinking these negative thoughts for 30 years.
Yes.
So let's give it a little bit of time. Yeah, right? Let's give it some time and start to really work on it and believe it and let that neural pathway grow and regenerate and let these positive thoughts fill you so that you can love yourself and you do it authentically. Sorry, I'm rambling, but no. I love self-love. I think it's so important.
I think a lot of women especially lack that, and it's mm-hmm. it's super important. I mean, I can't speak. I have been very cruel to myself the last few years, and mm-hmm. and it's funny. I just noticed it the other day. I dream a lot when I'm sleeping. Like, I'm mm-hmm. a dreamer, so mm-hmm. I've been noticing in my dreams that I am thinking bad thoughts about myself, or like, you know, like in my dream I'm saying like, oh God, why is that person looking at you? You're fat, you're this, you're that, you're ugly. Mm. And in my dreams, I woke up one the other day and I'm like, I'm thinking this in my dreams too, so I'm really being hard on myself that I'm dreaming about yeah. this.
yeah you're recognizing that, and so now that you recognize it, what are you going to do to change it, right? Because you know that that's not in alignment with what you want for your life.
Yeah. Yeah.
So mm-hmm. how do you change that?
Like,
how
said would... that affirmation is just telling yourself, rewiring your brain, training, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep, absolutely. Catching that negative thought and correcting it.
Yeah.
And it's hard because a lot of times, again, we've got that record playing on repeat, and it's so common, and I hate to use the word, but comfortable mm-hmm. for us, that we don't even recognize it a lot of times.
Yeah, very true.
So pay attention and correct.
Yeah, I'm definitely trying. It's been a few days. I'm trying my hardest not to. You know,
good.
I have a daughter, and I don't want her to also have negative views on herself, because they say they watch you, they hear you, and she's still little, but it, mm-hmm. you know.
It starts early.
Yep.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
Well, thank you so much, Tiffany, for calling in today.
My pleasure. I've really enjoyed speaking with you guys.
We did enjoyed too. It too. I loved it. Thank you so much.
Yeah, absolutely. You'll have a good one.
And if you are looking for a therapist, or you are a therapist looking to gain more clientele, please go to Tiffany's website at therapyconnectionstoday.com. And that's our show for this week. Thank you so much for tuning in. Happy Valentine's Day. You're listening to Shauna and Lala. We will see you next week.